Okay, welcome to class five and the Q&A support call for week five. Weeks are going so fast, I can't believe it. We're already fast approaching the last class in a couple of days. So I hope you're doing well, and I hope you had a nice weekend and was able to get outside. I know we're getting a fair amount of rain, but the light is still very intoxicating, and also that we been talking about this before with the light, that we need to kind of tune ourselves, like it's our we sync ourselves up with the external environment when we go outside, and that we also connect with the basically what's going on in nature. So I hope you're able to grow something. Even maybe you have a big garden and vegetables and things, that's really, really, really good, especially if you're eating from your garden. But even if you're not able to have a big garden, just grow something that you eat, whether it's especially herbs, because herbs are so important to keep the this diet, you know, flavorful, interesting, and healthy, because there's so many phytonutrients or phytochemicals in herbs. Especially if we use them more than a tiny little sprinkle, we use, you know, nice big amounts of herbs sprinkled on top of things when we're cooking, when we're grilling. And make sure when you get your herbs to plant that they are organic. You can pick some up at the farmer's market. A lot of this time of year, they're selling seedlings. And if you get it at the grocery store, make sure it's organic, because otherwise we do not know what's been sprayed on them. That's important. But just like I said, even if it's just a pot on your back step or on a balcony or on a front step, or if you have no space outdoors, just some pots on a windowsill or on a sunny kitchen counter, okay, we can grow plants, you know, basically year-round. If there's a little something to sniff from when we're cooking, but especially take advantage of the light we have now, because things grow really well and it's fun. Things taste better when you grow them yourself, right? So this one to reinforce, to eat more vegetables, especially now when we're going into this season when we have these really locally available vegetables. So aim for a pound a day. It may sound like a lot, but if you can get to a pound a day, it may really shift things for you. And you don't have to sit and eat it all like a raw salad. Naturally, some of it can be in salad form and raw, but a way to make salads less chewy, you know, sometimes it can feel like you're just sitting there chewing and chewing and chewing. You can do the chopped salad. Just take some scissors and cut the ingredients of the salad so they almost start, especially with the dressing on top, which is acidic, it almost mimics digestive juices that we have in our gut, and the chopping of things, it kind of starts the digestive process. So especially if you feel like you don't have time to eat a big salad at lunch, do a chopped salad for lunch. And we can also do vegetables, you know, this time of year we can grill them. Just make sure you don't burn them, and use oils that have a high smoke point that we talked about in a previous class. So I like using avocado oil, coconut oil, and then just using olive oil to sprinkle on top if you like that flavor. But don't use direct heat with the olive oil. And also putting vegetables in smoothies. You know, you can easily get a lot of vegetables in that way. And the same thing go with soups. And you may think soups, we're not in soup season right now. But think of cold soups. They're really lovely and refreshing on hot days. Like, I'm still waiting for the heat to arrive. But, you know, asparagus soup, you can do cold potato leek soup. Like there's a lot of things. Or you can take some greens, you know, spinach or nettles, and just use your bone broth and season and some garlic and lemon juice, and you know, you have delicious soup. And so aim for a pound of vegetables. We say 1 to 3 pounds a day, but I think if you can get to a pound, that's really good. Naturally, it depends on your body size and all those things and your activity level, how much, but I think a pound is doable for everybody. And if you find that digesting these vegetables is upsetting your stomach, make sure you're taking your probiotics, and you may need to increase the quantities, like the cultures, the billions you're taking, because when you shift the diet, the gut flora will also need to shift. So you can support that by taking more, more probiotics to help that break down along the way. Excuse me, I just got something in my throat here. There, that's better. So make sure you get your probiotics and that you take them every day and you take them with food. Because if you take them away from food, the acidity of the stomach, the pH, is going to be too low. So it will likely kill the good strains before they have a chance to get into your small intestine and onwards. So last week I hinted at we were going to talk about weight loss resistance, because I know that's an issue for many of my clients, and especially women. It seems like men have a easier time losing weight rapidly when they implement an anti-inflammatory diet. A lot of women do as well, but if some women have what we call weight loss resistance. And I just want to talk a little bit around that whole thing about weight and measuring weight and body image. Yesterday, I attended Lydia DeFrancesco's event, Embrace You. It was a movie screening of the movie Embrace, and discussion panel afterwards. And it was a fantastic event, and it was very inspiring, but also very eye-opening and sobering, because it became clear that basically all women are unhappy with their bodies, and their self-talk is quite negative. And it didn't really matter what really struck me. It didn't really matter what their bodies looked like, because she was the woman in this movie. She was interviewing women of all sizes and shapes, from people who were, large round bodies, and also people who were handicapped. She interviewed a woman who actually had a beard, and she interviewed women who had had accidents or trauma to their face after surgery. And some of the women with the more challenging body issues, they had really come to love and appreciate themselves. And then she was talking to all these regular women on the street, and they had all these negative images, and even women who were models had a lot of negative self-talk, and not just self-talk, I guess, that they were saying to each other, and how this is a risk factor in eating disorders, and that the society we live in has really proliferated this image via media that there's basically just one body type. And if you compare it to the ideal body type from previous decades that we have right now, it's quite scary. It's really sick, and it's really unreal, because so much is photoshopped. Like, basically everything you see in magazines and probably online, it's not real women. It's women who have been, had their faces smoothed out, their hips, their waistlines narrowed, and like it's just not real. But we have to get real and see it for what it is. And it really showed in this movie that it's really about surrendering to your body and turning it into a positive vehicle and message, and really seeing it as your friend and vehicle. And it doesn't mean that you surrender and give up. It means that it gives you a fresh starting point where you can start, taking good care of your body. You don't struggle with your body. And that's something that I've heard from many different people, that it's really about when you release that negative image and really start loving yourself for who you are and what you are right now, including your past and your future, because the body is constantly evolving. So it's really ego thinking that we're looking to a certain size or shape, because that's just also going to be a moment in time. It's not a permanent thing. I think I've said this before, like it's a verb. It's just a constant evolution. Like nothing stands still in this universe, including your body shape. So it's really about being in sync and in tune and flowing with your body wherever it is, and being kind to your body and grateful and tuning in and seeing what your body needs. And just that whole mental thing is an important starting point to be able to release. Because sometimes, especially women, will use their body and especially any extra weight around the waist as a protective padding. Maybe to not be seen by men or to just be protected in their environment, obviously subconsciously. And often we stare at numbers, like numbers on a scale, the metrics on a scale. We're looking at BMI numbers. And these are both really flawed ways of measuring both body composition and health in general. So the more we can get away from that external way of measuring and judging and evaluating ourselves, the better we are. So maybe you've done a lot of diet changes, but your weight hasn't shifted a lot on the scale. But what's been going on inside your body has had shifts on many points. So I want to encourage you to look at some of those. And before I just get into those things we can measure, it's just so you're aware that muscle basically has twice the weight of fat. So if somebody is, when the body is reshaping, you know, you may get more tone and get more muscle mass, but it's not showing on the scale. And that's one reason why the BMI measurements and all of those things are really flawed. And don't take it too seriously. Please do me a favor. Don't take all those things too seriously. And really tune in to see how you feel. So we can use a tape measure as well before we get into the internal stuff, which is often a more accurate way to look at body shape. There's something called a hip waist ratio that is helpful. So you do your hip and your waist measurement, and then you divide, you put the waist over hip. And you'd like that to be 0.8 or less for women and 0.9 or less for men. And that's really about health, because if we don't have that ratio, if it's too high, it means that you have increased risk for, you know, cardiovascular disease and diabetes and other things. Because the fat that accumulates around the visceral area, around the tissue, is very inflammatory, and it sends a lot of signals that are not health promoting. So what you want to do is not about getting to a perfect body image, but it's about changing your body composition so you reduce that fat around the waist. And that's also very linked to stress and cortisol. And we've talked about that before when we talked about blood sugar. So do some take out the tape measure and just do some measurements, and don't check that often, but check maybe every couple of weeks or once a month. And if you want to do more measurements, you can do upper arms, you know, thighs, and photos is also a good way to have a more objective way of looking at how your body is shifting as you're shifting your diet and lifestyle. You can take photos, you know, in a swimsuit or whatever, from front, back, and from your sides. And that's also going to give you more information about what's going on than just looking at the scale. But it's also about tuning in to how you feel. Do you have more energy? How's your brain working? Do you have more focus and clarity? And also, how's your mood? Is it more balanced? Are you happier? And how's your sleep? Are you able to fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up in a better way? Do you feel more rested when you wake up? Because sometimes it's hard to know the quality of our sleep because we're not really aware, and you may think you're sleeping great, but when you make some shifts, you realize, oh, I feel so much more rested. And also this time of year when it's bright outside, try to make sure you're covering up, you know, your windows, because we sleep best when it's dark. And also if you have any of those, you know, clock radio lights or any other lights in your bedroom, cover them up. I think you can get these stickers, black glow stickers to cover up those things. But also, I guess we just got something in our bedroom that had some numbers on it, and I just decided to cover it up, and I found a seashell that just fit that profile. So I was able to lean that against that device, so there's no numbers. So it makes the bedroom dark. And especially if there are green lights, red spectrum lights are a little less disturbing to that in that way. But I think it's best to cover up all lights. And also, then you don't know what time it is if you wake up, which is great, because it's like if you're thinking, oh my God, I've only slept 1 hour, or that's going to generate stress. So if you wake up, you just see it as an opportunity for self-care. Like you can actually do some breathing exercises, you can do some meditation in bed, and it's a time that's just for you to see it as a blessing. You'll probably be asleep before you know it. Yeah, so tune into all these internal ways of measuring how you're doing, and don't just focus on the external. And then just to look a little bit more at weight loss resistance. And like I mentioned, happens more often to women. And what we've been doing in this course is we've been implementing an anti-inflammatory diet, or AID, as I like to call it for short. And it's really a first step. You do this, and when you do it well, you see what's left. And if you're not seeing the results you want, be sure that you are removing fruit from your diet for a period of time, for about a week. We've already talked about removing tropical fruits because their sugar content is on the high side. But also try to remove all fruit. This will give a chance for some of your metabolic hormones to reset. And also remove all grains, because you may have removed gluten, but you may be eating some gluten-free bread or rice or other things. And that can also really shift things. And used all the resources in this program to make that possible for you. It may take a little more planning, but I think you will be able to do it. And if you have questions, you have one more week to get my input. And also look for any hidden things you're allergic to. And one big one is dairy. Really look for those hidden gluten and dairy sources, or get rid of that splash of milk in your coffee or tea that you think is just a splash. It could make a difference in this area. And also Class 5, we talked about environmental toxins. And there's a group of environmental toxins called obesogens. And as the name implies, they are linked to promoting weight gain or weight loss resistance. So if you can clean up your environment, and some of those include BPA, and where people are most commonly exposed would be the lids in those takeout coffee cups. And there are several other toxins and places as well. So I urge you to go back and look at the class slides from class 5. And don't be hard on yourself. Really congratulate yourself for everything you've done. Wherever you are, you're in the perfect place right now. Because you're always going to cycle through. Like I think we talked about this in a class recently, that you don't just do this and you're done. It's ongoing. And see it as this vortex or spiral. Like every time you come around and look at your proteins, you look at your fats, you look at your grains or your fruits, whatever you're eating, or some lifestyle habits, maybe you're ready to, next time you go around, you're able to get a daily meditation practice going. So you're always a little bit higher every time you go around. So it's really what's most important is the momentum. And just think, where was I 2 months, where was I like 2 months ago compared to where I am today? And he's like, wow, I'm so much further ahead in all these areas. And keep checking in like that, because it may seem like from a day-to-day basis that you're not much is changing, but you have to get that perspective and you're going to see that you're doing really well. And like I said, it's a journey that's going to keep going. You're never going to be done, but you're going to keep growing. And again, to refer back to the Embrace You event yesterday I went to, I picked up a word that I hadn't heard before. And it's a word that I'm probably going to use in my classes because it was a really good one. I can't remember who coined it, but it was the word flawsome. What does it mean? We're all flawed, but we're awesome. We're flawsome. So I'm going to give that word to you. So use that when you refer to yourself. And don't aim for perfection, because perfection doesn't exist. Maybe on a, you know, airbrushed Photoshop photo, but that's not life. That's a picture. That's something that's done still in time. And we're alive beings and we keep moving. So on that note, I'm going to end today's Q&A support call. I look forward to seeing you in class 6. Take care. Bye-bye.